as I have been walking through this last couple of months, I have really had a brand new excitement about looking outside at nature. I probably have been taking in images of what Father has created in his world in a brand new way. And as I started thinking about it, as I was putting together my thoughts for tonight, the Lord really impressed upon me that a part of this is all about getting back to being childlike. When a young child or a young baby is first in this world, their world is pretty small, but then it starts getting bigger and bigger. They start to explore it. They start to be inquisitive, and they're curious about checking out what's close by. And what do they do with those things? They don't think about whether it's going to be good for them or not, but they're going to put it in their mouth. They're going to feel it. They're going to smell it. They're going to taste it. They're going to do anything they can to get to know about that because they're just really excited about it. They want to know more about their world. And the Lord said, I was listening to a song, and it's a song that I'm going to put, that's on the beginning of our soaking tonight, but it's called Never Lose the Wonder. And the idea of wonder, you know, you can say you're living in a never-never land, you can say you're in something that's not real, but I believe that wonder... When I went to the the Webster's definition from an 1828 dictionary, it gave me the definition of to be excited by the sight of something new, unusual, great, extraordinary, to be affected by surprise or admiration, a miracle. Now, little kids, they get so excited about little things. I mean, you just give them one little flower. They just think it's beautiful because it's the first time they've seen it. It's the wonder. It's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. And how many of us walk by all sorts of beautiful things and we fail to see them because we've lost the wonder. Mm-hmm. We're no longer wonder-filled. You know, and Father spoke to me and he says, this is the time when I want you to stir up yourself and stir up all those that come to begin to see him in all of creation and begin to ask him to show you about who he is and who you are and what life is all about as you look at all of the lessons we have in nature. He had me entitle this God's Fingerprints because I think way too often we fail to see his fingerprints on our everyday life. We fail to see that he's involved in those little things. Now, I know that there are certain things that we all get excited about. I mean, every time I run into somebody, did you see that rainbow? You know, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that when they see a rainbow doesn't try and tell somebody else, oh, did you see that rainbow? It was complete. It was beautiful. It was double. I mean, you know, they want to share. Did you get to share that same experience? Well, that's the way Father wants us to be about most everything in our lives. And yet we have failed to keep that wonder because we're now all grown up. That's the way we act. I believe that the more that we allow ourselves to experience the wonder that he's placed around us, and the more awe that we get in as we look at it. I mean, I can't help but look at a brand new flower and just say, oh, it's beautiful. You know, the exquisiteness, the detail, the colors, everything in our world is meant to be pointing us to him. It's meant to be where we realize he is wonderful. He is the one that fills us with wonder, and he is the wonderful one. You know, in Isaiah 9:6, he's called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He is meant to be, he wants to be everything for us. And yet, if we don't get the wonder of, I can hardly believe I'm sitting in the same room with you. You know, that's the kind of value that he wants us to place on each other and on what we see that he's created. I don't want to lose the wonder. I want to be filled with wonder every day and in awe of his creation. And so having said that, he really took me to a psalm which I find very interesting, and I want to read it out of two different versions, because the Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation, it's really exciting, but let me read it out of the Message Bible also. Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2. God's glory is on tour in the skies, Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning, Professor Knight lectures each evening. Their words, and I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. Now let me read it out of the Passion Translation. If you're not familiar with the Passion Translation, a man by the name of Brian Simmons has been commissioned by the Lord. The Lord has commissioned him to record the scriptures book by book. He's been translating them with the passionate love that our Father has for his creation and his children. So this one says, God's splendor is a tale that is told, his testament in the stars, speaking his story every day from the zodiac of the heavens. His truth is on tour in the starry vault of the sky, showing his skill in creation's craftsmanship. Each day echoes its secret to the next, night with night sharing its revelation knowledge. Without a sound, without a word, without a voice being heard, yet all the world can see its story. Everywhere the revelation report is clearly read, so all can know. He really emphasized to me, he's never a pushy father. He's never a pushy God. He will never push himself on any of us. We have to choose to want that relationship with him. But all the time, every day, wherever we look, wherever we go, his creation, without saying, here, I did this for you, here, this is mine. I gave it to you. I made it for you. He's constantly, silently wanting to woo us to himself, to see the beauty that he's created for us to live in. And the Garden of Eden, do you know what Eden means? It means pleasures and delights. He placed Adam and Eve in the garden, which was filled with pleasures and delights. And that's what he's placed us in if we look at his creation. We may not find it in all the places, and there has been lots of darkness and lots of ways the enemy has tried to mar, twist, and distort what God has created. But I'm here to say tonight that he's silently saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I want you to see how much I love you. I made it for you to enjoy. I made it for you to find rest and peace and enjoyment from. I believe that's his heart. I believe he really wants it. I just know at this point in time that we have a Father that really, really wants us to see him. I've heard many people, including our one son, Jim, who always has said he always feels the closest to God in nature. When he's out taking a hike, he would always be more aware of God's presence then than other places. Rick and I, several years ago, were sitting out on our patio one Sunday afternoon. I'll never forget it. And we just felt like, we felt so alive. And Father whispered to me and he says, that's right, Sue, because you are surrounded now by all the things I created. And they are vibrating with life. And you are taking in the frequencies of life that each thing that is living is giving off. So why would we not choose to feel closer to him possibly when we are simply in his creation? I am just awed by what he began to share with me. I have many notes here tonight which I know I'm not going to share, but it was a process for me to write them down because he just kept showing me parts of his character and who he is from all of the creation that was surrounding me. And so with that, I want to share one scripture verse, though, from Romans that is a very sad testament to have recognized that not everybody sees this. Not everybody has their heart open to seeing him for who he is. In Romans 1:20 and 21 it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." I'm here to say that ultimately, a part of what is the struggle for some people to see God and all of his invisible attributes that are in nature is because their hearts have not been opened to see him for who he is. The language of the heart is images. You've heard the expression, a picture's worth a thousand words? Well, guess what? That is what it is. When we get an image of something on our heart, it impacts us from that point forward, and we continue to repeat that over and over. It can get stronger and stronger. So if it's a negative image, it can take us the wrong direction, and we think that's the only way it is. We can't see the right image because our heart has been darkened by a wrong image. And Father is wanting to shine his light to show us the beauty and the grandeur of all that he is and all that he wants to be for each of us. There is nothing that he doesn't want to give us if we will only turn and let him show us. He wants to reveal himself. That's the bottom line. He wants to reveal himself to each one of us. And there is nothing but nothing that he will go to try and get that to happen. I'm sitting here just next to a person. Jackie is someone that is amazing. And she posts a lot of them on Facebook. But she sees hearts everywhere. Everywhere in nature, in food, in clouds, in what else?
Stones,
yeah.
It's all over trees.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And I'm just saying, she sees it as that's a kiss from Father every time she sees one. You see, that's looking for God's fingerprints throughout your day. She doesn't necessarily go looking for them, but they just go pop. I mean, I was getting my hair done about 3 months ago, and I was getting my hair done. There had been just a skiff of snow on the parking lot, and here are two cars that backed out. When they backed out, they made a complete heart with their tires. They made a double heart, in fact. That doesn't just happen. I mean, it's just sort of like Daddy saying, "I see you. I love you. Do you realize I care about you today?" So that's my heart for each of us tonight, to begin to ask him to reveal his fingerprints of what he wants to show us each and every day. Now, we may live in different places, we may have different surroundings, but we can surely all see pictures of certain things. And for me, one of the things that he started off with a vision years ago was mountains. And I had a dream, and it was so vivid, I will never forget it. They were golden mountains. When I asked him what they were, he said, "I want you to see those golden mountains as my constancy in your life, my steadfastness, my absolutely unchangeable. I will always be there for you, and I am always where I want you to look. I want you to look up to me. I don't want you to look down at your circumstances. I want you to raise your eyes up to me. I want you to see me." Most mountains are made out of rock, right? So it's a pretty solid thing. It's not going to move very readily. I can count on it. I can count on it. And as I was getting ready and I'd gone through all these scripture verses, he said, in Psalm 125, I think it's verse 2, it says that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so I will surround my people. He says, "I want you to see those mountains as not only solid and secure and that I'm constant in your life, but I want you to see that I'm protecting you." He will surround us with a shield that will protect us and make us feel secure. That's a part of what we can get from the mountains. He wants me to look to him and not to myself. How many times do we look within rather than looking up? The mountain is meant to draw our eyes up to the place from whence our help comes from. "Mine eyes come look to the hills from whence my help comes from," it says in Psalm 121. There are countless scripture verses that talk about mountains. So I challenge you, maybe that will be something if you need to feel secure. The world is changing. The world is being shaken. So why not see him as the constant one that you can put your feet on? He can be the rock that you're anchored on, and you don't have to be moved. Despite what's going on out here on the inside, you can see him making you feel secure and safe. That's a mountain. I'm sure if we could talk about all sorts of other lessons or thoughts or images that he gives you from that, but that's mountains. Then he took me to water in all of its forms. Now, I could talk about this one for the rest of the evening because he just began to show me so many things, but he said, I had to show you pictures. So I put them on my iPad so I didn't have to have anybody moving around, and I realized that I suddenly didn't show you my pictures. So, there's my picture of a mountain.
Wow.
Okay. Nice. Complete from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And it was just glorious, and the sun was shining. So, not only the mountain, but the sun is always shining too. So, along with that, he showed me that mountains mm-hmm. can be this place, the source from which the water flows. We are meant to look up to him as our source and not look to ourselves. That water flows without us trying to do anything about it. Then he took me to snow, and he said, do you realize that snow falls silently, and yet it covers all the dirt? In Isaiah, it says he'll wash us whiter than snow. Mm-hmm. Though our sins be scarlet, he'll wash us whiter than snow. And then he said, not only do I do that for you, but I want you to begin to see that just as I do that for you, that love covers softly and gently. And that's what I want you to do for one another. I want you to forgive one another. It says love covers a multitude of sin. So why not? And yet, how many of you have ever seen individual snowflakes? They're all different. There's not one that's alike. That's how he sees each of us, as a unique individual that he says is exquisite. Because when I look at snowflakes, I think they're just absolutely stunning, and they are so precisely beautiful and uniform and symmetrical that they can be absolutely mind-blowing that he's into that much detail. And that's what Father just said to me. I'm into every little detail of each of your lives. I know more than you even think I know. And I care. I care about those little things. Now, the next part is just water. And do you know what happens with water if there is none? If there is no water, there is very little, and it is a desert. This is the Negev Desert in Israel that I found a picture of. And it is very barren and does not get much rain except in the spring. It gets enough rain, and there are red anemones. That's the name of the flower that they have in Israel. And it carpets... Wow. The desert, and they have a festival for a week long of going to the desert and seeing the desert blooming. All right, now that may not seem like a big deal, but I started thinking about this. There are dry times in our lives. Spiritually, there can be deserts where it feels like we're not getting anything from God, that God seems far away, or he doesn't seem interested, and nothing seems to be changing, and we just feel like we're stuck in this place. And yet, you know what? He's planted seeds in each one of you, and they just have to have the water raining on them so that they will suddenly sprout and bring forth a new life. Because what does rain do? It brings growth. It brings whatever has been planted in that ground. It brings them to a place of being seeded. As it says in Ezekiel 34:26, he brings showers of blessing. It brings showers of blessing. And he told me, sometimes there's downpours. Sometimes there's just little light mists. Sometimes there's fog. Sometimes there's showers. Sometimes there's thunderstorms. But no matter what they are, he's going to be there to help us grow, and he's going to allow what's in us to come forth in beauty. No matter how ugly life seems to be at this moment for you, he's going to bring beauty out of it. He's going to bring the beauty out of the ashes. He's going to bring the beautiful flowers out of what looks like there's nothing going on in the desert at this point. And that requires us to trust him. That requires us to say, okay, Father, I let you be Father, and I don't have to figure this all out right now. And yet sometimes that's really difficult for us. Sometimes we really can struggle with that. But when we choose to, we can plant ourselves by a river, and that way we will never find ourselves as much in that desert place. It says in Psalm 1 that if we meditate on the word day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This happens to be the Jordan River, where Rick and I had a chance to go in Israel and be baptized when we were over there several years ago. And I've always loved this picture. And he says, I want you to use that one tonight. Because you see, it's meant to be a river, a stream, a ocean. Rivers, streams, lakes especially are all filled with life. They are life-giving. They are totally capable of sustaining the life of anything that's near them. You don't have to be far away. You may be a little bit further away from the river, but the roots can go right down to that river. And it says in Ezekiel, the trees that are by the river will be having healing leaves for the nations perpetually. So we've got the ability to see life all the time. We just need to have our roots go down deeper. My next one is about, he's also light. He is the sun that shines every day. Do we ever go to bed thinking, I wonder if the sun will come up tomorrow? No, we know it is, quote, clockwork. We know it's going to come up at a certain time, depending on what time of the season it is. But we know that it's going to come up at a certain time, and it's going to set at a certain time. We can be assured that he's constant, he's faithful, and he is going to do it every day. He shines on everybody. Well, I'm only going to shine on those that are doing the right things today. No, he gives it freely to everyone. Okay? Now, I heard this by somebody a while back, and it really impacted me. He also decided we would have days and nights. He didn't make it one long continuous day. And you know, I've decided I really am thankful for that, because at the end of a day, all right, it may have been a day that you really enjoyed it, or it may have been a day where you just needed the grace to walk through the rest of it because it wasn't as easy. But either way, when the day is done, it's done. And you can say, that day is past, and there's no going back to it. But guess what? Tomorrow you get to start over. And you don't have to take the baggage or what happened to you before into a brand new day. You can start over and have a brand new outlook, a one of hope and expectation, one of saying, okay, man, I made that mistake yesterday, but guess what? I get to start over. And you can do that all day long, you know. It's not like you have to wait until the sun goes down. I'm just trying to give you an idea that you can start over all the time. It's just like it's perpetually day and you never get to the end of anything. But I am convinced that Father wants us to see how faithful he is at helping us to start over by having the sun come up in the morning and go down in the evening. Now, how many of you have ever realized in a cloudy day, it's cloudy here and you can't see the sun, but is the sun still shining? How many of you have ever gone in an airplane? You get above those clouds, guess what? The sun is as bright and blaring, and my gosh, you may have to close the little window on the airplane because it's shining brightly. We may not be able to see it all the time, but that's how faithful he is for all of us. Having said that, he's also exquisitely dramatic with all of his beautiful, beautiful landscapes of sunsets and sunrises, and they only last a few minutes. Why does he do that? I'm convinced because he loves color, and I'm convinced it's because he wants to have kisses for his children every day. Now, plants are one thing that we can say, and every spring is full of green. It's full of green, and it's everywhere. But do you know that there is a process, whether it be to have the beauty of that green and all those colors? It starts with seeds. It starts with seeds, whatever shape, whatever size. Those seeds can come, but they just have to be planted. And just like we can plant physical seeds, we can plant seeds of his word. It says in 1 Peter 1:23 that we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. He's planted seeds in us. Other people plant seeds in you. You plant seeds in other people. And guess what? He brings the increase. So I'm just encouraging you to realize that he might have something to show you about all the growth of seeds. Because what happens? The first thing that happens when you've got that new sprout is you have to have the roots. And the roots have to go down deep. And last autumn and winter, he taught me so much about roots. I have suddenly decided roots are more important than I ever dreamed. Because I know they stabilize things, but I also know that in Ephesians 3, it says that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. And so I have decided that my goal is to make sure that every day I receive his life-giving love, because guess what? That's going to keep me stable, and that's going to allow me to have something to grow from, and it also then will flow out of me to other people. One of the scripture verses that I do want to take the time to read before I finish here is from John 15 about the vine and the branch. And here's a vineyard with the vine and the branch. And let me read that to you. Let me just think about it. The vine does everything for the branch. It doesn't hold anything back. So we need to see him as our source. The ability to have the green shoots that are tender, like I had in this other picture, that's really tender. And if it gets too cold and it gets frosted out, it can kill that shoot. So to be very gentle and tender, that's the way our Father is. He wants to care for each tender little seedling. How many of you have ever had a plant or a tree or something that's, I don't know what else to say except you know it needs some TLC because it doesn't look like it's doing well? Well, that's the way our Heavenly Father wants to be with us. He wants to give us all the TLC we need. Because he knows that we can't survive without him. So let me read this first couple verses here out of John 15 in the Passion Translation, because it's very powerful. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and then verse 9. I am like a sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me. This is the part I want you to key in on. By lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless, and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I've spoken over you have already cleansed you, so step into life union with me, for I have stepped into life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I love each of you with the same love that Father loves me. Let my love nourish your hearts. A plant needs to have nourishment, and I believe that he wants to nourish us with his love. There's a verse that I did write down in my notes, and it's from Isaiah 42. This one has always touched my heart because I see such tender gentleness in our Father. Jesus is the one he's speaking of, in that Isaiah is speaking of, that he would come and he would have a gentle love and not be harsh with us. Because it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. That means if we're bruised or broken, it won't be one that he's going to cast aside. He's going to care for it. And in the Message Bible it says, he won't brush aside the bruised and the hurt. He won't disregard the small and insignificant, but he will steadily and firmly set things right. I believe that is what he wants to do for each of us. And I had a friend recently that shared with me, the Lord had shown her, that whether it was a little tiny violet or a huge sequoia tree, Father saw them both as magnificent and beautiful. So whether you see yourself and feel insignificant, like some small little speck on this planet, or you see somebody that's really well known and they are known and quote unquote by many more people, Father sees them the same. They're both precious, they're both significant, and he wants each of them to grow into the fullness of what he created. Because a peach tree is not an apple tree, does that mean that there's something wrong with the peach? No. If there is a flower or a vegetable plant, they're different, but they are all beautiful. And so my conclusion for you tonight is, see the beauty in how he's created each of you. And then begin to see the beauty in the rest of the body of Christ as well. Those that are in the body and those that are still in the world that may not know their Creator and their Father yet. But with tonight, I want you to each ask him specifically to show you an image of something he wants to teach you or show you from nature so that you can get a greater glimpse of who he is and what he wants to be for you. Because he wants you to live each day going, oh, wow, Daddy, that's beautiful. I know, Rick, when Father became more real to him years ago, he had done all the gardening and made the place look beautiful, and he realized they never took time to enjoy it. Suddenly, he stopped to smell the roses, so to speak. And being able to take time to just ponder and see the beauty of a butterfly, a beauty of a flower, or whatever it is that God has created, I believe it will put you back in that place of being childlike with wonder. So having said that, the Lord told me to get out blank paper and colored pencils so that tonight as you spread out around our house, if you feel led to, you are free to draw a picture of whatever Father is laying on your heart for this season of your life, for Him to teach you and to